everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. WIT stands for Women in Tech, but this podcast is not only for women. It's for anyone who wants to learn about the latest news and experiences from working with the Microsoft 365 cloud services and apps, and with a special focus on SharePoint and Teams. I believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Hey listeners, welcome to episode 60. Today is the 5th of December and winter has arrived here in Stockholm. So we have a slight layer of snow and about minus 5 degrees. I want to begin by thanking you all for a great podcast year. I got my stats from Podbean and wow, I'm so amazed that I have listeners in 47 countries. And some more, actually. They did not all fit in the stats. This was too few percentage, but 47 countries. Wow, that's a record. And I also got the Spotify Wrapped stats, and that showed that I've gained 28% more listeners this year, which is also just amazing. So thank you so much for listening. You are the best. And you are also the reason and who inspire me to continue working with this podcast. I'm not being paid or don't have any sponsors. So this is what I do in my free time. It's for you, and I really enjoy sharing the knowledge. Sharing is caring. I hope you are all well out there. Just as we could go back to somewhat normal from the pandemic, it's getting hysterical here again due to the Omicron variation of the virus, and I just wonder sometimes if the world has gone a bit crazy. I mean, the symptoms are milder, like a lighter flu. I think I was probably more ill when I had a regular cold earlier this winter, but I think maybe that social media and media overall, of course, is so fast and goes viral these days, so politicians feel the pressure to take actions, and it sometimes feel a bit like in panic, you know, to shut down entire countries because a few people got sick. And it's a bit worrying. I mean, we must gain something from having taken the vaccine, otherwise people won't do it. Here in Sweden, they have decided that all events that has more than 100 participants requires a COVID pass. So that means that you must have taken at least 2 shots of the vaccine. And all those people who won't take it, come on, just do it so we can go back to traveling, conferencing and concerting and have fun again. And speaking of conferences, I was very proud to be one of the speakers at the upcoming CEF conference here in Stockholm, and that's what's going to take place in January. Unfortunately, due to this new Omicron hysteria, it will not take place in January as announced before, but instead it will be held in May. And I feel so sorry for Göran Husman and company at Humandata, who has to postpone the conference. I can just guess that it's a lot of work with rearranging people who are going to be speakers and hotels and flights and all that stuff. But at the same time, I totally understand it, because almost half of all the speakers are from US and other countries, and if they can't come over here, it will be a different conference. So I think he did the right thing, and May can be more pleasant also to visit Sweden, actually, when it's springtime and nice outdoors. Visit seforum.se for more information about the conference. I will hold 2 speaker sessions there. So I'm super excited and look forward to this conference. Okay, time to start this episode, and I have very exciting news to make, but first to this episode's topic and news. At this year's Microsoft Ignite, they announced many new cool things, of course, that are coming, they always do. And there were 3 things that I think stuck out, and they are Loop, Mesh, and Metaverse. So what are these new apps, platforms or concepts? I will try to explain them very short and with the knowledge I have up until now, because you need to remember that these are completely new things and have not been rolled out yet. So I cannot unfortunately speak from my own experience of working with them, but I can try to explain what they are and what we can look forward to. And I will add links to all the news I'm mentioning in this episode in the show notes so that you can read more about them. One really good place you could see all the news that's announced at Ignite is the Book of News. So that's a really good site to where they have summarized all the news that were announced at Ignite. Let's begin with Loop. They present it as a new app that combines a powerful and flexible canvas with portable components that you can move freely and that is always in sync across all apps where you are using them. For instance, in Teams, or you might use them in OneNote, and wherever you use these components, they will stay in sync and you can co-edit these components wherever you use them. So at first I was like, don't we already have all this? Not the least with just the entire Microsoft 365 platform itself with all collaboration tools and how we can work and co-author things together. So what is Loop really? Well, it consists of three elements. So it's Loop Components, Loop Pages, and Loop Workspaces. Loop Components are built on the Fluid framework, and they can be a list, a table, notes, tasks, or a sales opportunity in Dynamics. And because all the components stay in sync, no matter how many places they live in, you and your team will always work with the same and latest information, so it's real-time editing. You can insert these components anywhere. Like for instance, if you are in a Teams conversation or a chat, you can click on a new Loop symbol beneath the chat box, and there you can choose from a list and insert maybe a voting table or a task list or a note, and you can co-author the same component with your colleagues, for instance, in that chat. So again, wherever you use these components or if you move them to a new place, they will still always be in sync. The information will be in sync. So the components are portable, which means that you can embed them in chats, in meetings, in documents, and the content will always stay in sync. I have actually tried out the components, and I went into a team conversation and I added a new component for a voting table. There are two options. You can either click on a copy symbol so that you can paste this into another app, for instance, into OneNote, or you can click on the component name itself and then it will be opened up into a Loop page. It didn't say now what app it was opened in. It just said Office 365 up at the top. So it's so brand new. So it still hasn't got its own Loop hub, I guess. That will be later. But right now it opens up in a blank page. And the Loop pages are then organized into Loop workspaces. And not everyone needs to be part of the entire Loop page, because the individual components can be edited in real time from any other app and any other place. Even if they live on your page in your workspace, someone can edit and update that same component from maybe in a Teams conversation and so on. So it's cool. You can edit the information right where you are. You don't have to worry about where it lives or where you have to store it, because the people who have access to this component can edit it from anywhere it lives. I hope this all makes sense. I know it sounds maybe a little bit abstract, like with everything that you talk about within IT, new platforms and new apps, just when you try to describe them rather when you see them in front of you. But I hope it you can understand a little bit about what Loop is. It looks kind of fun to work with, but it's too soon to say what value it brings yet. So I will come back on this when I have tested it properly. Microsoft Loop components will arrive in Teams, Outlook and OneNote very soon. And the main Microsoft Loop app will be released at a later date. I don't think it was any date set for that yet. Moving on to Microsoft Mesh. I have talked about Mesh before because this was announced already at the last year's Ignite. So what is Mesh? It is three parts: feel presence, experience together, and connect from anywhere. Feel presence is all about holoportation and avatars. And I so loved the announced feature coming to Teams where you can be an avatar in a Teams meeting. Think if you have a bad hair day and you can still look good using your avatar instead. It will mimic your movements and expressions, which is super cool. And I can't wait for that to come. And with the holoportation, you can project yourself as your most lifelike photorealistic self in mixed reality and interact as if you were there in person. And I have a VR headset, so I can use this at work now also, not only for fun. It's cool to think that you can actually experience something together with your colleagues, even though you are not there in place physically. And that's the next part, that is the experience together, which means that you can move through this virtual world and get your information when and where you need it. And I love all this. It's also not depending on where you are physically. You can be somewhere together with people in this mesh world and still be efficient and get your work done. And just to hang out, of course, wherever you are in the world physically. Connect from anywhere means that you can access Mesh on a VR headset, maybe a HoloLens, or like I have the Oculus Quest 2, or whatever device you are using. And you can use the Mesh-enabled apps, like for instance, Mesh for Teams. And what I love most about Mesh is that it shows that we don't need to meet physically to be efficient in our daily work life, like I said. We can work and collaborate across the physical borders and meet in this metaverse and get rid of the old school way of thinking that we must sit in an office from 9 to 5. And I can honestly say that I don't get much things done when I'm in the office, because then you want to chat to people and I have a hard time finding focus when I'm in the office. There's too many distractions. And maybe it says something about me as a person. I know many of you out there love sitting in the office and you can do that. But for me, I can only speak for myself, of course. But for me, it's more efficient to work from home and I get so much things done. And I can still be social, hang with people in Teams or hang with people in this new mesh world maybe, or I've also been in the Altspace VR world, visiting conferences. And it's so cool that we can have this hybrid way of working and don't have to worry about so much where people sit or where you meet. You can meet in so many places. I think it's cool if you have a work meeting and you go out to have a lunch with your colleague, or you maybe take a walk. I have had many Teams meetings while walking. Works as super well as sitting in front of a computer. It's not, I mean, we have this freedom now. Why not use it and embrace it so much instead? And I think we've also proven during this pandemic to our employers that we don't need to sit in an office to get our jobs done. And we have all these amazing tools. Why not use them instead? So let's meet in the metaverse instead. And this brings us into the last, the third part I wanted to talk about, the metaverse. So what is that then? As I interpret it, it's the sum of all the things I've talked about here. It's all the apps we have in this mixed reality, the option to be an avatar, or you can hologram yourself into a meeting place in Mesh. And it's almost like a new internet where we can interact and collaborate and do things together like we can in the physical world. Like you can go to a concert or a conference in the virtual world. You can meet people there and chat with them. You can walk into a product development area and look at products in 3D and discuss and design and think around this together with your colleagues, even though you are on physically different places in the world. So if we just boil this down to something concrete, the first step might be, like I said before, to join a standard Teams meeting as an avatar of yourself. And I think that's better than some people don't want a camera on, or they don't even have a profile picture, so you are quite anonymous in the meeting. And not everyone likes to sit in front of the camera in a meeting, and I can totally respect and understand that. But if they could have an avatar instead, then the meeting's more come to life, I think. So you can see some movements and there's actually someone there talking. I know this may all sound very futuristic, but it is here. And I really enjoy it. And I think it's so exciting with all these new worlds and tools and hybrid way of working. And Mesh for Teams begins to roll out in preview in the first half of 2022. And you who have listened to my podcast knows that I bought my Oculus Quest 2 during the pandemic, and it has given me so much joy and fun when, for instance, I play Star Wars VR and Harrison Ford stands next to me, like looking so cool, and it feels like I'm playing with him. And I didn't feel alone, even if it was quite a lonely year last year. It felt like I was there with them. So Metaverse is my type of universe. You are listening to the WIT Girls podcast. If you like us, we would be so happy if you could give us a 5-star rate in iTunes. It helps us reach more listeners. Thank you for listening. Over to some news that's coming soon. SharePoint and Microsoft Lists. First, I want to do a short intro to Lists if you haven't used that. They have always existed in SharePoint, but a few years ago, Microsoft released the standalone app called Microsoft Lists. And you can add that into SharePoint, to OneDrive, or directly from Teams. Lists are used to organize and track information, such as registries, product information, sales information, issues, and more. You can share a list with anyone, your team or an external partner if you have external access allowed, and then you can work together in this list in real time. And I recommend that you try it out and maybe import an Excel spreadsheet and see how you can work with the data there. And Microsoft put a lot of effort into this by adding some great new formatting options. And now we will get a new view, which is called Board View. And in that, you will have lanes or buckets or whatever you wish to call it, individual lanes where you can show your list items, and they will be represented as cards. So for instance, you could have lanes for different statuses like new, in progress, unassigned, and so on. Or you could have lanes by different project tasks that you would like to assign to different people. So the cards are nice to look at. They will be more visual, and you can see the profile picture of the person who the task is assigned to or the item is assigned to. And you can have colors for different statuses. And all these are very easy to set up in Lists now. You don't need to add any HTML code like we had to do before. You can simply use the conditional or formatting rules that's available in the view in the list. And this board view will replace the gallery view that will be deprecated. So if you have used Planner, you will recognize this look of this view. It's quite similar with the different lanes, and you can just drag and drop items between these different lanes in the view. SharePoint and OneDrive will get a new sharing experience. So instead of having one button for copy link and one other button for share, they will now be merged into one button, and one window will show up, which is great. So you'll have the options to share a link just the same way as you can do today. You can add a message and send it to the recipients. And at the bottom, you can also choose to just copy the link. Maybe people already have access to the item you're sharing and you just want to resend the link to them. And you can also at the bottom of the screen see who the item is shared with. And that's a great improvement, because that's one of the things that people have hard time to find today is like, where can I see who has access to this information? So at the bottom of the new screen, you will see who this item has been shared with. And if you want to stop sharing it, I guess you have to go into that way we have to do now. You select the item, click the three dots and choose manage access, and it opens up a new panel where you can choose to stop sharing it with specific people. OneDrive and SharePoint will get a new library drop-down menu. So now when you select a team or a site within OneDrive, you'll be taken to the default document library instead of a list of document libraries to choose from. But now you will have a drop-down menu next to the title of your document library, you know, the standard document library that's on the site from the beginning. So there will be an icon and you can click on that drop-down menu and select between the different libraries on the site. You can create a report quickly from a SharePoint list or library in the Power BI service. And I talked about this in the former episode, I think, where if you have a list, you have a new option on the integrate button in your list called Power BI. And if you click on that, you will have the option to visualize the data. And the report is generated automatically for you in Power BI. But now this will also be applied into document libraries. So you will have reports even for your documents now, where you can just see some stats and graphs on your documents also. And you can then also use the QuickChart web part to add graphs to your page. So you can either get the data from a list or library, and then you can add labels, pick a chart type, and publish them onto your page. And you will have like graphs and visualize your data onto a page. You can enter up to 12 data points or show up to 50 data points if you use a SharePoint list or library as a data source. And you can choose to have them as a column chart or a pie chart. Super cool. I've been waiting for this because the one that we've had up until now has just been a static chart. I've never used it actually. But now you can really choose a list or a library and what column you want to use, expose the data from. So, and you can set the horizontal and vertical axis values. So now it will actually make sense to use that quick chart web part. Moving over to some Power Apps news. Power Apps can now display images from Microsoft lists. So today in a list, if you want to add a picture, you need to choose that column that's called hyperlink or picture. And it's so messy because you first need to go into the site, to site assets or library, upload the image, copy the URL, go back into your list and paste that URL into that hyperlink picture column. And that is quite frustrating. So now we have a new image column where you can upload image directly from your device. And that column you will be able to use from within Power Apps now also. Co-authoring in Power Apps. If you have developed Power Apps and you are several authors of that app, you know that you are locking each other's session. So it's been really hard to be several developers of an app so far. But with this co-authoring feature, you will be able to work on an app together at the same time. And it's not the full real-time co-authoring experience that we have in Office, where you can directly see on the screen that someone is changing something. But if you click on a sync button, you will see what changes has been made. But I think it might come later, this full real-time co-authoring experience. But a very good improvement, because it's now it's almost impossible to be two authors of an app. So if I have to click a sync button, I'm fine with that. AI helps you low-code. So with Power Apps Ideas, a new concept, a new feature that's coming, you can just type in native language what you want to do in Power Apps. Like for instance, I want to search contacts in a gallery with full name and sort them in a specific order, for instance. The FX code will be generated for you. So you don't have to learn all these functions or the syntax of the FX code language. You will have it generated for you. And this is also, of course, a way to learn the FX language. I have built quite a lot of apps recently, so I'm getting the hang of it and I'm getting faster in building apps. But this could also be a way for us to be more efficient when we work with apps. Over to some Teams news. Now we will have background effects on web coming. I have not gotten it yet. I checked today. You can do it on the mobile phone. I have it on my iPhone. And I think I read somewhere that it's coming to Android also, so you can have background effects on your mobile devices also. Teams Connect is coming. And this is huge. This is really going to change how we work in Teams, I think. And I've talked about this Teams Connect, I think a year ago in this podcast. It has been talked about a very long time, but now it's finally going to arrive. So Teams Connect will let you create a new type of channel, a shared channel. And you can invite both individuals or entire teams in your organization or external partners. And they need an Azure AD identity, that's required. But if you want to invite an external partner, just type in their email address and they will get an invitation to join the team. And you can work together with all the team's capabilities, like you can have chats and meets and collaboration on apps and share and co-author documents in real time. So this is a great improvement, quite a revolution actually for Teams, because there are many of us who are working in many different tenants. And also, of course, you might work with many different external partners. And instead of creating all these different teams for different partners and so on, you can just create a shared channel inside your team's team and invite them in there. And the shared channel will get a specific icon so you can distinguish them easily from your other channels in the team. When you invite these people, either from your organization or from external or both, into this shared channel, they will not get access to the other channels in your team, just that channel. And for us who work in many different tenants, we don't have to switch tenants to work with external partners. And we don't have to be guests in other tenants anymore either. We can look as if we were in the same organization. We will have a profile picture. You can see the online status. We can at mention people and chat just as we were working in the same organization. So this will be great. And I hope it's rolling out soon. And I will try it some more when it has arrived. But I really look forward to this change. There is a new co-organizer meeting role in Teams. If you are the meeting organizer, you will soon be able to assign other co-organizers in the meeting. You can have up to 10, I think. And they will be granted most of the capabilities that you have as the meeting organizer. So they will be able to access and change meeting options. They can bypass the lobby. They can admit people from the lobby during a meeting. They can lock the meeting, present content, and change another participant's meeting role. And they can end the meeting for all. What they can't do is that they can't manage the meeting recording, they cannot edit the meeting invitation or remove or change the organizer role. New options to create and set up your breakout rooms before the meeting starts. So up until now, we have to create these breakout rooms ad hoc during the meeting. That can be quite stressful, that you need to like assign people into different rooms during the meeting. So now you can prepare and set up your rooms before the meeting starts. And when you have created these rooms, you can go in and choose who's going to be the moderator for each or owner of each of these breakout rooms. So you can bulk create or delete rooms. You can add, delete or rename individual rooms. You can configure the meeting options for each of these rooms. And you can adjust settings for them and pre-assign participants via both the manual or the automatic assignment options. That was all the news I had this time. There are so many news coming all the time, and these are just some of them, of course. Otherwise, it would be a really long and probably quite boring episode. So I suggest you go into the Book of News to read upon all the other news that's come from Ignite this year. Now, I have just one last announcement, and that is that I will join Microsoft here in Stockholm as a customer engineer. Yay! I'm so happy for that, and I start my position in the middle of January. A recruiter from Microsoft contacted me earlier this year to see if I was interested in this position and working for Microsoft, and hey, that has been one of my life goals, so I was super thrilled to get this chance and that I also actually got the job. I have met the team already, and they seem like super cool people with lots of experience and skills, so I will learn so much from them. And just to hear them say, "Hey Lisa, we are so happy to have you here, we need your skills in our team," that was really cool to hear. So I so look forward to start working there and get to know these people and and get to know Microsoft as a company. I mean, I have worked with the Microsoft products for so long now, so it will be cool to see the inside of Microsoft and how it is to work there. And there are so many great people working there, and I hope to be able to travel around the world and meet people at Microsoft in other parts of the world. So this is super exciting, and I'm so happy. So having said that, I want to thank you so much for listening, and contact me if you have any feedback or comments or questions on witgirlspod@gmail.com. And I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and hope to meet you again next year. Cheers! Thank you for listening to the With Girls podcast. If you like the show, I would be so happy if you would rate and subscribe to it in iTunes, Spotify, Podcaster, or any other podcast app you use. It means a lot to me, as it helps me reach more listeners. If you have any feedback, questions, or guest suggestions, you can contact me on witgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Instagram on the account @witgirlspod, or visit witgirlspodcast.podbean.com. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. Take care, cheers!